Podcast series Abortion, Choice versus Control, Episode 1, History of Pro-Life and the Origins of Anti-Abortion. Let's begin. As a society, who has the right to tell/force anyone what an adult can and can't do with their body? On that, has society, specifically the United States, regressed back to the era of when women are literally property of their fathers and husbands, and men in general, of society? My previous podcast series, I included links to various sites as part of the series. For this series, I'll only share the truth of what I research, and I challenge you, as a listener, to find this information yourself and research further for your own knowledge and understanding, and to share with others. For my full in-depth research on this series, please consider subscribing to my Patreon to access and listen to the episode on my full thoughts and opinions on this topic. To be blunt, quote-unquote pro-life is a cult to control what women do with their bodies. It has nothing to do with, quote, saving unborn babies, unquote. A bit extreme, but let's dive into this topic and research how and why abortion is such a controversial topic. The topic of abortion isn't a right or wrong answer, but a discussion on whose or what right is it to determine what's best for a pregnant woman and her unborn child. It's a moral and ethical issue of the health and reproductive rights of the female body. Enough blabbering. Let's dive into this already. Let's start with when in history that abortion became a hot topic. Let's start with this question. What is pro-life? And a follow-on question, when did pro-life movement originate? The following article contains a history of how pro-life came to be and how it affected early access to abortion after restrictions were put in place. Article from Hopkins Bloomberg Public Health, A Brief History of Abortion in the U.S. Abortion wasn't always a moral, political, or legal tinderbox. What changed? By Annalise Winnie. Abortion laws have never been more contentious in the U.S., yet for the first century of the country's existence, and most of human history before that, abortion was a relatively uncontroversial fact of life. Quote, abortion has existed for pretty much as long as human beings have existed, unquote, says Joanne Rosen, JDMA, a senior lecturer in health policy and management, who studies the impact of law and policy on access to abortion. Until the mid-19th century, mid-1800s, the U.S. attitude toward abortion was much the same as it had often been elsewhere throughout history. It was a quiet reality, legal until, quote-unquote, quickening, when fetal motion could be felt by the mother. In the eyes of the law, the fetus wasn't a separate, distinct entity until then, but rather an extension of the mother, Rosen explains. What changed? America's first anti-abortion movement wasn't driven primarily by moral or religious concerns like it is today. Instead, abortion's first major foe in the U.S. was physicians on a mission to regulate medicine. Until this point, abortion services had been woman's work. Most providers were midwives, many of whom made a good living selling abortion plants. They relied on methods passed down through generations, from herbal abortifacts and pessaries, a tampon-like device soaked in a solution to induce abortion, to catheter abortions that irritate the womb and force a miscarriage, to a minor surgical procedure called dilation and curettage, DNC, which remains one of the most common methods of terminating an early pregnancy. The cottage abortion industry caught the attention of the fledgling American Medical Association, which was established in 1847, and at the time excluded women and black people from membership. The AMA was keen to be taken seriously as a gatekeeper of the medical profession, and abortion services made midwives and other irregular practitioners, so-called quacks, an easy target. Their rhetoric was strategic, says Mary Fissel, PhD, the J. Mario Molina Professor in the Department of the History of Medicine at Johns Hopkins University. You have to link those midwives to providing abortion as a way of kind of getting them out of business, Fissel said. So organized medicine very much takes the anti-abortion position and stays with that for some time. In 1857, the MAA took aim at unregulated abortion providers with a letter-written campaign pushing state lawmakers to ban the practice. To make their case, they asserted that there was a medical consensus that life begins at conception, rather than at quickening. The campaign succeeded. At least 40 anti-abortion laws went on the books between 1860 and 1880. And yet, some doctors continued to perform abortions in the late 19th and early 20th century, late 1800s and early 1900s. By then, abortion was illegal in almost all states and territories. But during the Depression era, doctors could see why women wouldn't want a child, and many would perform them anyway, Fissel said. In the 1920s and through the 1930s, many cities had physicians who specialized in abortions, and other doctors would refer patients to them off book. That leniency faded with the end of World War II. All across America, it's very much about gender roles, and women were supposed to be in the home having babies, Fissel says. This shift in the 1940s and 1950s meant that more doctors were prosecuted for performing abortions, which drove the practice underground and into less skilled hands. In the 1950s and 1960s, up to 1.2 million illegal abortions were performed each year in the U.S., according to the Guttermuch Institute. In 1965, 17% of reported deaths attributed to pregnancy and childbirth were associated with illegal abortion. A rubella outbreak from 1963 to 1965 moved the dial again, back toward more liberal abortion laws. Catching rubella during pregnancy could cause severe birth defects, leading medical authorities to endorse therapeutic abortions. But these safe, legal abortions remained largely the preserve of the privileged. Women who are well-to-do have always managed to get abortions, almost always without a penalty, says Fissel. But God help her if she was a single black working-class woman. Women who could afford it brought their cases to court to fight for access to hospital abortions. Other women gained approval for abortions with proof from a physician that carrying the pregnancy would endanger her life or her physical or mental health. These cases set off a wave of abortion reform bills in the in-state legislatures that helped set the stage for Roe v. Wade. By the time Roe was decided in 1973, legal abortions were already available in 17 states, and not just to save a woman's life, but raising the issue to the level of the Supreme Court and enshrining abortion rights for all Americans also galvanized opposition to it and mobilized anti-abortion groups. Roe was under attack virtually from the movement it was decided, says Rosen. In 1992, another Supreme Court case, Planned Parenthood of Southeastern Pennsylvania versus Casey, posed the most significant existential threat to Roe. Rosen calls it the case that launched 1,000 abortion regulations. Upholding Roe, but giving states far greater scope to regulate abortion prior to fetal viability. However, defining that nebulous milestone became a flashpoint for debate, as medical advances saw babies survive earlier and earlier outside the womb. Sonograms became routine around the same time, making fetal life easier to grasp and putting wind in the sails of the, quote, pro-life, unquote, movement, Rosen said. Then, in June, the Supreme Court overturned both Roe and Casey. For many Americans, that meant the return to the conundrum that led Norma McCorva, a.k.a. Jane Roe, to the Supreme Court in 1971, being poor and pregnant and seeking an abortion in a state that had banned them in all but the narrowest of circumstances. The history of abortion in the U.S. suggests the tides will turn again. We often see these periods of toleration followed by periods of repression, says Fissel. The current moment is unequivocally marked by the latter. What remains to be seen is how long will it last. End of article. So from that, the American Medical Association deliberately gatekept the choice of abortion. At its core, the quote-unquote pro-life was born out of sexism and racism and politicalized by the very medical people that were supposed to be, quote, medical professionals, unquote, and help women and people in general. I.e., medical professionals, which is a male-dominant industry, demanded to control women, women's bodies, women's rights in general. Continue to episode 2 for further research on the impact of anti-abortion and the rise in lawful federally protected abortions with 1973 Roe v. Wade. I have included extra content in the Patreon episode, and I share my personal views and deeper research to share with you. Please consider subscribing to my Patreon to listen further for more information on this topic. If you found this episode meaningful, please continue to listen to my next episode, as I dive deeper and research further to share my knowledge with you. Thank you.